Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众朋友好，今天是2014年12月4号星期四，现在是北京时间傍晚5点，下面为您播报新闻。一个大陪审团决定不起诉今年7月扼住一名没有携带武器的黑人的喉咙，致其窒息而死的白人警察。随后，纽约市爆发抗议活动。这一决定宣布之后，很多人在纽约时报广场举行示威。由于示威者众多，警方封锁了附近洛克菲勒广场的入口处。按照预定的计划，传统的点亮圣诞树仪式将在洛克菲勒广场举行。数十名抗议者躺在中央火车站举行所谓半死示威。一名路人用手机录像拍摄了事件的经过。当时43岁的埃里克·加纳与几名纽约市的警察发生争执，警察要逮捕据称非法贩卖零散香烟的加纳。几分钟之后，警官丹尼尔·奥塔莱奥从加纳的身后扼住他的喉咙，把他拖向人行道。身体肥胖的加纳患有气喘病，从录像中可以听到他反复地说：“我喘不过气来。”医学检查结果显示，加纳死于警察的扼喉动作。纽约警察局1993年决定禁止使用这一手段。美国司法部长霍尔德星期三晚间宣布，将对加纳死亡事件开展联邦民权调查。加纳的家人和活动人士近几个月来一直呼吁采取这一行动。不到两个星期之前，密苏里州弗格森市的一个大陪审团决定不起诉在一次街头对峙当中开枪打死一名黑人青年的白人警官。对美国有关伊朗曾对其边界附近的伊拉克境内伊斯兰国激进分子发动空袭的指称，伊朗不予证实。美国军方官员说，伊朗用上世纪70年代购买的美制战机空袭了伊拉克东部迪亚拉省的伊斯兰国目标。五角大楼说，美国没有在这个地区采取军事行动，没有关于空袭的其他消息。伊朗总理阿巴迪说，他不知道空军曾在迪亚拉采取过任何的行动。伊朗和美国都迅速地表示，两国之间不存在军事合作关系。与此同时，一名美国高级将领说，伊斯兰国在利比亚东部建立了训练营地。中国表示将很快停止摘取被处决犯人的器官用作移植的做法。中国执行死刑的数量超过世界上其他任何国家。中国国家媒体星期四报道说，将从下个月起全面废止这种有争议的做法。中国的器官捐献率在世界各国当中属于最低之列，长期以来一直依靠死刑犯的器官弥补不足。中国的摘取器官项目引发严重的伦理问题，并是国际社会广泛谴责的焦点。一些人权组织说，中国施行这一摘取器官项目时并未征得犯人或其家人的同意。还有人指出，中国当局有时会加速处决犯人以满足对某些器官的需求。华盛顿邮报记者李萨伊安的家人说，伊朗将他的拘留期至少延长了两个月。李萨伊安被关押在伊朗的埃文监狱，他7月在未经任何解释的情况下被逮捕。星期四是他被关押的第135天。伊朗当局没有对李萨伊安提出起诉，而他一直不能与律师见面。李萨伊安的兄弟阿里星期三说，11月18号的一份新文件下令将拘留期延长至少两个月。美国总统奥巴马说，他怀疑俄罗斯总统普京在西方经济制裁的冲击力全面显现之前，不会改变莫斯科在乌克兰东部所起的具有争议性作用的立场。基辅的那次动荡导致亲俄总统亚努科维奇被推翻，俄罗斯吞并乌克兰的克里米亚半岛以及乌克兰东部发生已经持续8个月。俄罗斯一家主要民调机构说，尽管俄罗斯经济状况是每况愈下，普京总统在国内继续拥有强大的政治支持。各位听众，以上是美国之音的一组国际新闻，由陆阳为您播报，感谢您的收听，再见。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
听众朋友们好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商务实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课重点学习在业务介绍会上使用的语言。首先是电话访谈， Charles Blake 在他北京的办公室接受我们的电话采访。
Today, Charles Blake is calling from his office in Beijing. Hello again, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
Today, we're going to listen to your final presentation to Advanced Technologies. You changed your proposal after Ms. Graham told you her concerns about the first proposal.
Yes, I remember it well. She was especially worried about storing spare parts at the factory.
How did you feel before your presentation?
Well, I was hopeful, but I knew that it would be very hard to convince Ms. Graham.
Let's listen to the conclusion of your presentation.
So, to sum up my company's final proposal, we guarantee a further reduction in the price, another 10%. This will make our robots much less expensive than the competition's. In addition, we will send two engineers to California to train your employees,so that they can service the robots, if necessary.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Don't you agree, Shirley?
Well, it's a good first step.
I think that this takes care of some of your main concerns.
Yes, I think it does.
And I am certain that we will meet the October 1st deadline.
I'm very glad to hear that.
You'll also be pleased to hear that we are planning to provide storage facilities in California.
Mr. Blake, let's talk about your presentation. You made some major concessions.
Yes, we did. My company agreed to reduce the price another 10%. That made us much cheaper than United Industries.
And you proposed to send two engineers.
We felt that sending two maintenance engineers would reassure Ms. Graham.
I understand. Overall, how did you feel about the proposal?
I thought that we had made the best proposal that we could.
Yes.Well, thank you for being on our program again.
I always enjoy talking to you.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, our email question is, how do I make a formal presentation to Americans?I made a presentation last week, and they asked 1,000 detailed questions afterwards.
Well, the main thing to remember is to be very clear about everything. Say exactly what you mean, even if the audience disagrees with you.
So, don't be vague.
Exactly. Give specific examples and facts to support your opinions.
Good advice.
Also, organize your presentation clearly.For each new idea in your presentation, use words like first, second, and next.
That would be clearer.
And be sure to summarize the main points of your presentation at the end. You can say, in summary, and then repeat the main points of your presentation. Finally, if the audience asks a lot of questions, that's good.
Why?
Because it means that they were really listening and were interested. If there are no questions, it may mean that they weren't very interested.
Every week we get a lot of questions from listeners. Does that mean that they are very interested?
I hope so.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
I am proposing that we open up a branch office in South Africa. I think it is a good idea for the following reasons. First, the government there is stable, and the economy is growing. Second, there are almost 42 million people there. In addition, the climate is hot, so the people are always thirsty. Finally, the government wants foreign companies to come to South Africa. They allow foreign companies to own 100% of their company, and they are reducing taxes. In summary, there is a stable government and a large, thirsty population, and the government wants us to create jobs for their people. All of this makes South Africa a great opportunity for us.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking about business presentations. In today's business dialogue, we heard an example of a short business presentation. Notice how the speaker begins with a statement of her main idea, using the expression, I am proposing.
I am proposing that we open up a branch office in South Africa.
She then introduces the reasons that support her idea. She makes the organization of her proposal very clear by numbering each of her main points.
I think it is a good idea for the following reasons. First, the government there is stable and the economy is growing. Second, there are almost 42 million people there. In addition, the climate is hot, so the people are always thirsty.
As she gets near the end of her proposal, she uses the expression, finally, to let her audience know that this will be her last point.
Finally, the government wants foreign companies to come to South Africa.
And at the end of her presentation, she summarizes her main points, using the expression, in summary.
In summary, there is a stable government and a large, thirsty population, and the government wants us to create jobs for their people. All of this makes South Africa a great opportunity for us.
Of course, in actual business situations, a presentation would be much longer and would be supported by more detailed examples and information. But whether a presentation is long or short, it is very important to follow these same basic principles. Begin with a statement of your main idea and clearly indicate the main points in your presentation with words such as first, in addition, and finally. And be sure to summarize your main ideas at the conclusion of your talk. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
第二课我们重点学习了向人做承诺的各种用语。首先是电话访谈。我们在电话中采访加州圣何塞市的 Mike Epstein 先生。
Today, we are talking to Mr. Mike Epstein in his San Jose office. Hello again, Mr. Epstein.
Hello, it's good to talk to you again.
Today, we're listening to Mr. Blake's final proposal to advanced technologies.
Yes, I remember that meeting. International Robotics had made three changes in their proposal. They reduced the price of the robots by 10%, a big decrease. They offered to send two engineers to our factory, and they decided to set up a storage facility in California.
Let's listen to Mr. Blake's presentation.
So, to sum up my company's final proposal,We guarantee a further reduction in the price, another 10%. This will make our robots much less expensive than the competition's. In addition, we will send two engineers to California to train your employees so that they can service the robots if necessary.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Don't you agree, Shirley?
Well, it's a good first step.
I think that this takes care of some of your main concerns.
Yes, I think it does.
And I am certain that we will meet the October 1st deadline.
I'm very glad to hear that.
You'll also be pleased to hear that we are planning to provide storage facilities in California.
When will those facilities be ready?
They'll be ready by mid-November.
I'm sorry, but that's not soon enough. How did you feel about the changes in Mr. Blake's proposal?
Well, without a doubt, it was a much more attractive bid. Their robots were already very cheap and of excellent quality, and having two of their engineers available for local support was a wonderful idea.
Did you see any weaknesses in the offer?
Well, I knew that Shirley would not be happy about the storage facilities. She wanted them ready to meet the October deadline.
Well, we'll hear more of Ms. Graham's reaction on our next show. Mr. Epstein, thanks for being with us again.
It was my pleasure.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, our email question is, how can I build trust with my American customers? I tell them that I will deliver quality goods on time, but they are always worried.
In many cases, it may be that they have had bad experiences with other people. Maybe someone made a promise and then couldn't deliver a product on time.
That is an awful situation to be in.
Yes, before making a promise, make sure your shipping department can deliver. Americans take promises seriously.
What else can a business do?
Well, it's a good idea to give the customer a lot of information about their order. For example, some companies email customers to confirm the details of the order.
That's a good idea. So American business people like a lot of communication and control.
Yes, so they may want you to use a shipper with computerized tracking.
Computerized tracking? Could you tell us more about that?
It means that you can use the internet to find out where your package is.
Anytime?
Anytime. 24 hours a day.
Gary, thanks again for your excellent information. Let's take a short break.
Let's
listen to today's business dialogue.
Harry, we've got to have those processors quickly.
Sally, we're getting them ready to ship to you. You know that they have to be put in special shipping packages.
So when will we get them?
You'll definitely have them by Friday.
Friday? Harry, it's Monday. I can't wait that long. I need them tomorrow.
Well, I can ship them next day air, but it'll cost more.
It will cost me a lot more if they don't get here tomorrow.
Okay, Sally. You're my best customer. I'll arrange the shipment myself.
So will they get here tomorrow?
I guarantee that they will get there tomorrow. They'll get there late in the afternoon, but it will be tomorrow.
Thanks, Harry.
Don't mention it.
You'll definitely have them by Friday. I'll arrange the shipment myself. I guarantee that they will get there tomorrow. They'll get there late in the afternoon, but it will be tomorrow.
Gary提示.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking about expressions you can use to make promises. In today's business dialogue, Harry tries to reassure Sally that she will receive her microprocessors on time. He first promises that they will be delivered by Friday, and he uses the word definitely to make the promise stronger.
You'll definitely have them by Friday.
In a similar way, Mr. Blake uses the expression, I am certain, to make his promise to Ms. Graham stronger.
And I am certain that we will meet the October 1st deadline.
Another way to strengthen a promise is to use the expression, I guarantee, as in this example from the business dialogue.
So will they get here tomorrow?
I guarantee that they will get there tomorrow. They'll get there late in the afternoon, but it will be tomorrow.
Notice how Harry emphasizes the word will. If you say, I will be there tomorrow, this is a much stronger promise than if you just say, I'll be there tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
第三课，我们重点学习用什么语言拒绝别人的建议。首先是电话访谈。Shirley Graham 女士在她加州圣何塞的办公室接受我们的电话采访。
Today, we are talking to Shirley Graham from her San Jose office. Hello again, Ms. Graham.
Hello.
Today, we're listening to Mr. Blake's final proposal to your company.
Oh, yes. There were some significant changes from the first proposal. They reduced the price and guaranteed that two engineers would help us. But I didn't feel that the final proposal really addressed our biggest concerns.
Let's listen to that conversation. When will those facilities be ready?
They'll be ready by mid-November.
I'm sorry, but that's not soon enough.
I see. I'm sorry you feel that way.
Look, Charles, I appreciate your efforts in putting together this proposal. But frankly, I just don't feel that your company can provide the support that we need in order to meet our deadline. You have no organization in the United States, and to me, that represents too great a risk. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to accept your proposal.
Shouldn't we discuss this a little more? Perhaps we can work out something.
No, Mike, we don't have much time, so we have to make a decision now. I'm sorry, Charles.
Why did you reject the proposal?
Well, I appreciated the concessions he made about price and so on, but my main concern was still the October deadline. I'm sure that Charles believed that his company could meet the deadline, but I don't think that he knew how very difficult it would have been.
Because his company has no organization in the U.S.?
Exactly. I just couldn't take the risk. He made a good effort, but unfortunately, he could not give us what we needed.
Thank you very much for talking to us today.
You're very welcome.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, our email question is, my company is based outside the U.S., and we're looking for an American partner. How do I find a good company to work with?
Well, basically, you have to do a lot of research.
What kind of research?
For example, you could do a search on the internet and in business publications for information. Then you should visit the companies and talk to the managers. Ask each company for a list of references.
References?
Yes, the names of companies they have worked with. Finally, interview people from those companies to find out how reliable each company is. If this is for a big contract, you could hire a professional to do research.
That's a complicated process. Won't it take a lot of time and money?
Yes, but if it's important to you to find a good business partner, it's worth the time and money.
Thank you, Gary, for your excellent suggestions.
My pleasure.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
I think a merger makes good sense because of our long relationship. You're our biggest customer in the U.S., and we supply you with 60% of your engine parts.
Well, I suppose that there would be some advantages. You are much bigger than we are. However, you have about $10 million in debt, and your sales revenues haven't been growing as fast as they should. Our growth has been steady with almost no debt. And we're making a very large profit without any overseas risks.
But a merger could help us both increase growth.
Yes, but we would become just one division of your company. We'd lose our freedom. That's the main reason a merger doesn't interest me, at least not now.
Could you at least discuss it with your board of directors?
There's nothing to discuss, Rose. I control the company. And I don't think a merger with any other company is in our best interest. I'm afraid the answer has to be no. Let's just keep things as they are, okay?
That's the main reason a merger doesn't interest me. There's nothing to discuss. I don't think a merger is in our best interest. I'm afraid the answer has to be no.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking about rejecting a proposal. In today's business dialogue, Ms. Levy presents arguments in favor of a merger. But after discussing the pros and cons, Mr. Martin decides to reject her proposal.
But a merger could help us both increase growth.
Yes, but we would become just one division of your company. We'd lose our freedom. That's the main reason a merger doesn't interest me, at least not now.
When Ms. Levy tries to get him to discuss it further, he refuses. Notice how Mr. Martin uses Ms. Levy's first name to make his refusal more friendly.
There's nothing to discuss, Rose. I control the company. And I don't think a merger with any other company is in our best interest.
He then restates his decision in a way that is both polite and very clear.
I'm afraid the answer has to be no.
Even though he is rejecting her proposal, Mr. Martin wants to keep a good relationship with Ms. Levy. Earlier, we saw how Ms. Graham rejected Mr. Blake's proposal. She thanked Mr. Blake for his work and gave her reasons for rejecting the proposal. Let's listen again.
Look, Charles, I appreciate your efforts in putting together this proposal. But frankly, I just don't feel that your company can provide the support that we need in order to meet our deadline. You have no organization in the United States. And to me, that represents too great a risk. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to accept your proposal.
In business situations, it is often necessary to reject a proposal. It is best to use language that is very clear and to give your reasons for rejecting the proposal. And if you thank the person for the proposal, you can help keep a good relationship. I hope today's tips were helpful. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天这一课商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下星期再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带。整套学习辅导材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众，下面是几则新闻。就在密苏里州佛格森镇的这个黑人和白人之间的冲突还在继续之际呢，纽约又发生了由于类似的话题而展开的抗议活动。抗议的原因是一个当地的大陪审团决定对今年七月份的时候扼住了一名没有携带武器的黑人的喉咙并令其窒息而死的白人警察呢，大陪审团决定不予起诉。就在这一决定宣布之后，很多人聚集在纽约的时报广场展开了游行示威抗议。由于示威的人数众多，警方封锁了在时报广场附近的洛克菲勒广场的入口。按照预定的计划，传统的点亮圣诞树的仪式都在洛克菲勒广场举行。还有数十名抗议人士躺在纽约的中央火车站举行所谓的扮成死亡了的样子的示威。一名路人当时用手机录像拍摄了警察和一位这个黑人的冲突的今年七月份的这个过程。当时43岁的艾里克·加纳同几名纽约市的警察发生了争执，警方要逮捕据称是在非法贩卖零散香烟的加纳。但是几分钟之后呢，警官丹尼尔·潘塔莱奥从加纳的身后扼住了他的喉咙，并且把他拖向人行道。身体比较肥胖的加纳患有气喘病。从这个一个过路人用手机拍摄的录像当中呢，可以听到他反复对警察说：“我喘不过气来。”后来的医学检查结果显示，加纳确实是死于警察的这个扼住他喉咙的动作。而纽约的警方早在1993年的时候，就是20年前，就已经决定禁止使用这一手段了，就是在对待要他们警方想要逮捕的人的时候。美国司法部长霍尔德星期三晚间宣布说，要对加纳的死亡事件展开联邦的民权调查。加纳的家人还有活动人士最近几个月来一直在呼吁联邦政府采取这一行动。就在不到两个星期前，密苏里州佛格森镇的一个大陪审团决定对一次在街头对峙当中开枪打死一名黑人青年的白人警官不予起诉。随后佛格森镇还有美国各地呢，都举行了抗议活动。中国方面表示，很快就将停止摘取被处决犯人的器官用作移植的这个做法了。中国方面执行死刑的数量超过世界上任何其他国家。中国官方媒体在星期四报道说，将从下个月，就是2015年1月开始全面废止这种有争议的做法。中国的器官捐献率，在就是人们自动捐献器官的这个指数呢，在世界各国当中属于最低之列。长期以来要器官移植的话，一直是依靠着死刑犯的器官。中国的摘取器官的项目在世界上引起了严重的关于伦理问题的讨论，并且呢，这也是国际社会广泛谴责中国政府的做法的一个焦点。国际间的一些人权组织表示，中方实行这一摘取器官的项目的时候呢，往往并未征得犯人本人或者呢是犯人家属的同意。还有人指出，中国当局有时候甚至会加速处决犯人，以满足对某些个别器官的需求。中方拒不接受这些指责。与此同时呢，中国当局多年来一直保证说最终会停止 这种做法的。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
各位听众观众朋友大家好，欢迎继续收听收看美国之音 VOA 卫视12月3号星期三现场直播的时事大家谈节目，我是宝申。
各位好，我是宇宙。
2014年10月中旬 APEC 峰会在北京举行，美国总统奥巴马随后对中国进行了短暂国事访问，双方就气候变化、签证互惠、军事互信、贸易谈判以及抗击埃博拉、反恐等问题达成多项协议或共识。奥巴马与习近平更借瀛台夜话之际就不同执政理念深入交换看法。然而访问结束后，两国罕见的没有发表联合声明，奥巴马也并未邀请习近平访美，显示两国在一些重大问题上，尤其是在所谓新型大国关系问题上存在分歧。回顾2014年美中两国关系呈现出怎样一个轨迹，展望2015年美中两个大国能不能继续在徘徊中前进，时事大家谈邀请国际问题专家进行分析。
今天参加节目讨论的嘉宾一位呢是日本三菱综合研究所杨中美博士。杨先生你好。
你好。
好，杨先生通过电话从日本东京参加节目。另外呢是美国之音中文部的记者社会学博士龚小夏女士。小夏你好。
你好。
嗯，好的，我们欢迎两位。与此同时我们也欢迎各位听众观众和网友拨打热线电话参加讨论，免费热线电话是400-120-0551，400-120-0551，欢迎各位拨打电话提出您的问题，同时呢也发表您的见解。
是的，在这个播送讨论之前呢，我们先来播送一篇相关的报道。随着2014年步入尾声，美中两国关系在奥巴马总统访问北京与中国国家主席习近平达成多项协议的情况下取得一些正面积极成果，也为过去一年来两国跌宕起伏的关系画出一个上扬的走势。不过两国关系的发展是否能持续这种轨迹，分析人士看法谨慎，认为美中之间仍然有许多基本分歧难以消弭。请看美国之音记者钟晨芳预港的报道。
过去一年来，美中关系受到一些事件影响，震荡起伏，包括东中国海与南中国海的领土争端，美国以网络间谍罪起诉解放军军官，西藏喇嘛自焚，新疆和中国维权人士的人权问题，美国军机遭中国战机危险拦截，香港战中民主抗议等等，这些事件都激起两国关系的波澜。然而在岁暮年冬之际，美中关系近日出现一些积极变化。奥巴马总统在北京国事访问期间与习近平达成多项协议与共识，包括气候变化、签证互惠、军事互信、贸易谈判以及加强埃博拉、反恐等国际事务方面的协调与合作。不过分析人士认为，美中领导人会谈最大的作用即在于加强相互理解，并不能消除根本的分歧。
I think the important achievement of this meeting were the mil-mil understanding.
我认为这次会谈最重要的成就就是两国军方的相互理解，这对美军和解放军在西太平洋的互动极为重要。它没有办法解决所有的问题，因为在东中国海和南中国海造成的问题的中国船只是海警船而不是中国海军，所以双方海警部门也需要有类似的相互理解。
中国新领导人习近平上台后多次提出和美国建立新型大国关系的概念作为中国发展对美关系的主轴，但美国舆论界和学界对这个概念的内涵表示疑虑，认为美国政府不能照单全收。
I think it was a mistake to ever entertain the idea of some new great power relationship dynamic.
它为本区域带来许多问题，它带有美中两国在搞两个大国集团 G2 的意思，这是没有人想看到的，所以奥巴马政府现在也想从这个概念退却，我认为这是一件好事。
G2 that nobody wants. And so the administration has backed away from that concept, and I think that's a good thing.
对于新型大国关系的内容，习近平本人在今年七月的美中经济战略对话中明确阐述了他的主要意涵。
中美是两个各具特色的国家，在很多方面肯定有差别，有差别才需要沟通合作。我们双方应该坚持从大局着眼，把握构建新型大国关系总目标。只要我们双方坚持相互尊重、聚同化异，保持战略耐心，不为一事所惑，不为一言所扰，中美关系大局就能任凭风浪起，稳坐钓鱼台。
不过，分析人士认为，中国要求美国尊重其包括主权和领土完整在内的核心利益，美国无法完全接受，因为它和美国本身的长期利益是有冲突的。前美国国务院亚太副驻青柯庆生不久前在布鲁金斯学会的一场讨论会表示，被北京当局视为其核心利益的，第一就是维持共产党一党专政，第二是根据中国当今地图的领土完整，第三是有利于经济发展的环境。
US really only agrees with the third.
美国实际上只同意其中的第三点，你知道，要美国基本上接受说那些是你的核心利益，我们必须经常遵守他们，那是相当困难的事情。美国永远无法说我们支持中国共产党永远一党统治，我们只能说我们不会采取行动去导致你的国家不稳定。
随着中国在东中国海设立防空识别区，在南中国海设置钻井平台，以及人权、网络间谍、军机拦截等一连串强势作为，奥巴马政府官员也开始与新型大国关系的说法保持距离。此外，习近平提出亚洲人管理亚洲事的说法，成立丝路基金、设置亚洲基础建设投资银行等，也被认为是中国有意在亚洲建立由自己主导的多边体系，突破美国亚洲再平衡政策的围堵。华尔街日报的评论说，中国成立丝路基金向亚洲国家提供贷款和援助等做法是精心策划的谋略，目的在于重塑以中国为主的朝贡体系，将美国逐出东亚。美中经济与安全审议委员会最近发布的年度报告说，自两年前习近平上任以来，中国在东中国海和南中国海同美国盟友日本、菲律宾的领土争议导致美中关系紧张，两国在亚太地区擦枪走火，发生军事冲突的风险增加。
我们无需过于悲观或乐观，只要他们继续维持那种糟糕的政治制度，我们就永远不可能成为密切的伙伴。我也希望我们之间永远不会发生战争，除非是由于意外的擦枪走火，这也是双方正在试图防范的情况。
观察人士指出，无论是澳习庄园会谈还是英台夜话，都无法改变美中之间的根本分歧。美中作为全球第一和第二大经济体，双方没有不合作的选项。以上是美国之音记者钟晨芳预港的采访报道。
好，您现在收听收看的是美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈。今天我们讨论的话题呢，是美中关系在2014年的发展。刚才播放的是 VOA 记者钟晨芳和预港做的一个年终报道。首先请问一下龚晓夏博士，你认为2014年美中关系到底有哪些亮点？
我觉得美中关系如果从总的大面上来看呢、有一个很重要的转折，外边是没有注意到的、这就是一个意识形态上的这个攻与守这个转折。我们要看到，就是哪怕是邓小平年代到后来到这个江泽民胡耀邦年代，我们看到中国在意识形态上是处守势的，就是说我们是有中国特色，我们达到不了美国那种民主制度，我们呢就说跟你们是不一样的，有我们特色的，可是呢并没有再次像毛泽东时代那样说我们的制度比你们的好。 那么这一次我们看到，尤其是奥巴马去访问中国的时候，尤其是这个瀛台夜话，我们看到这个态势，攻守态势有所转变。那么这两年奥巴马政府在这，然后你一直看到就是说美国人就自己叫辩护说，我们有我们的制度，你们应该实行民主。可是中国特别习近平上台以后呢，采取了非常强劲的攻势，说我们这个制度就是很好，恐怕比你们的更好。这是一个很根本的转变，而这个转变呢，就是说意识形态领先呢，是能主导很多其他转变的。
好，接下来我想问问在东京的杨中美先生，那么我想问问，就是您同不同意龚小夏博士刚才他提出的这个观点，就是意识形态在今年的中美关系中呢是起到了至关重要的作用。那么您认为今年的这个中美关系与往年的关系有哪一些不同的地方？杨先生，
我觉得中国的这个现在对美关系啊正在发生，就像这个龚博士一样的发生，正在发生一些质的变化。比方说在经济上，他认为是美国想用这个新的游戏规则，这个 TPP 来个规定它这个来阻止这个中国的进一步进有利的发展，那么它就打出了这个亚太自由自贸经济区来反击。在政治上呢，它搞亚新峰会，提倡亚洲安全馆，来针对美国的这个亚太重返亚太的这个再平衡战略。那么我们看到在这个各个方面呢，就是刚才的意识形态方面呢，是龚博士讲的，也是在开始渐渐打出所谓的中国特色，来和美国进行一个针锋对抗。那么但是中国知道自己的力量还不够，还必须要收敛的地方要收敛，所以呢在很多有利于国家发展有利于这个世界的问题上，比方说气候温暖，或者是这个打击恐怖分子等等，海涛方面都采取了比较开放合作的态度，这个也是他比较自信的方面。这样就是说中国呢开始呢在这个外交上对美国渐渐开始有了一个自信，然后呢就是在针对美国的想制造新的游戏规则来规范中国的时候呢，中国开始用自己的方法来反击，但是呢不想把美国的中美关系破坏，是既有争斗但是又有合作，但是呢长远的总的目标，长期的目标它没有变，就是在今后呢就是希望由美国和中国这样两个新型大国关系来共同管理太平洋地区的问题。我想这个就是今年中美关系的一个比较大的变化。
是小夏，谈到奥巴马访华呢，很多评论人士认为他和中国国家主席习近平达成的一些协议或者一些共识呢，基本上是一些表层上的东西，你像是签证的问题了，或者气候的变化，但是在深层的一些问题上，特别是两个大国对相互战略这种理解的不信任仍然是十分严重的。特别是中国目前处于一种崛起的趋势，美国是在维持现有的国际秩序，这么一个崛起国家和一个所谓首长国之间这种争斗是必然的。你怎么看这两国之间在深层问题上的这种严重分歧？
第一，我觉得啊，就是说达成的协议并不见得完全都是表层的。其中我觉得就有最比较深层的一个，就是气候变化。气候变化这个问题在美国还是一个正在争论中的问题。那么也就是说，气候变化到底是不是人为的？那么对于人为进行气候变化这个减排，到底是一个有用的，就是应该做的行动还是不应该做，这个美国国内有非常非常深刻的分裂。那么奥巴马这回去签订这个气候协议，根据美国的法律呢，凡是这个协议都要回来面对美国参议院的批准。那么下一届共和党参议院如果不批准呢，就让奥巴马会处在一个比较为难的状态，这是一个问题。另外很多深层的问题，我觉得中美之间吧，这种相互的不信任，这是很两国的政治制度造成的，这也不可能有信任。哪怕奥巴马跟习近平两个人瀛台夜话再多夜话一段时间，达成很多信任呢，美国国会、美国的人民、美国的国民、美国的这个整个政治舆论对中国这种制度是有根深蒂固的不信任的。
杨中美博士谈到这个深层的问题呢，一些评论人士认为 美中两国在一些比较重大的问题上，特别是美国现在重新返回亚洲，或者把战略重心返回亚洲，以及中国的新型大国关系上，两国在这些问题上基本上没有什么共识，或者说没有什么深层的理解。您怎么看待这个问题？
我觉得美国的战略和中国的战略正好是两个不同性质的东西。
嗯，
中国的这个战略是要在是一个前进的战略，就是想要在随着这国力的上升，随着国家的利益的扩展，它需要一个更广泛的安全空间和广泛的一个安全利益。那么它就是在这个提出这个新型大国关系的总结目标，就是我不挑战你美国，但是我希望能够有共管太平洋，那么来确保我们两个国家的和平共同发展。而美国呢，是随着国力的虽下降，我觉得因为这几年的战争把它拖垮了以后，它的下降以后呢，它想重返这个亚洲呢，就是提出亚太再平，它是一个在好像是一个进攻性的，实际上是防守中的进攻。那么实际上随着国力的逐渐增长呢，美国的这个重返亚太这个战略呢，如果得不到日本和其他盟国的坚定有力的支持呢，我觉得呢是很难阻挡中国前进的步伐的。所以我觉得这个是两个性质不同的一个战略碰撞。目前的趋向来看，美国还是看上去是进攻势，中国是防势，但是实际上中国在扎扎实实的好像在前进中。
我想说一点有点不同的看法，就是呢，美国有人写过一本书叫做美国是个不情愿的帝国。实际上美国就在二次大战前孤立主义情绪是非常高涨，大家就不想管美国人，本来到了一个新大陆就是不想管你们旧大陆的麻烦事儿。那么现在美国在亚洲很多时候是亚洲国家要拖美国进去，越南、菲律宾、那个印尼等等，他们要拖着美国来管亚洲的事，否则他们对中国是有恐惧感的，就是这个如果中国进攻他们怎么办？他们需要美国做后台。而美国呢，在这么做呢，是要付出相当大的代价的。美国国内有很多挑战对这种做法，所以这里还有日本。那么日本是个很有国力的国家，但是日本希望跟美国还是保持它的同盟呢，这样就能够防御一点中国的威胁。所以美国我觉得它不是一个进攻性的，它是被人拖下水的，差不多是。
那想想我想问，就是从现在的中美关系来说的话，习近平这个领导人，我想看您觉得他对中美关系这影响力到底有多大？还有呢，您也是这个历史研究历史的这个学者啊。那么就是从中国共产党他上台之后呢，共产党的这个领导人，您觉得哪一位对中美关系有最大的影响力？最有作为，还有哪一些是最没有作为的？
影响力吗？还是毛周邓要说？他们几位，就是说从中美建交开始啊，从这个后来邓小平，尤其是打开的中美贸易关系，这是非常重要。美中两国关系在这个中间就是有一些非常深层的这些差异啊。我觉得美中两国的领导人其实对这个意识的并不特别清楚。我跟美国和中国两边的专家有不少打过不少交道，就中国的美国问题专家和美国的中国问题专家，我觉得就是对中美关系或者美中关系讲得最透彻的有一个人，就是王吉思博士。王吉思是北京大学的，那个我们当时也是同学，他说了一个很有意思的判断，他说中国是官方搞外交，美国是全民搞外交，中国对美国是一个政府对一个社会。那么也就是说，中国在制定很多美国对外交政策的时候，它不太需要考虑国内人民到底是怎么反应的，它有时候会考虑是怎么样让国内人民看得比较好看一点，但是呢，它不太考虑国内人民各种利益会有什么样的这种交叉的活动。而美国政府呢，确实要考虑各方面，商界的利益、工会的利益、普通人的利益、那个消费者的利益等等等等。所以呢，两国这种关系的形成啊，其实就说你说走向再平衡，两国关系的形成本身就不是一个平衡的关系。 这是很有意思的，我觉得。
那么小夏说到这一点，就是说中国和美国之间的这个两国关系，实际上呢也是代表着世界上的这个两面的关系。那么一边呢是以美国为首的这个西方的自由的这国家的这个群体，那么另外就是一个相反的群体。所以呢全世界这个关系中呢，还有包括中美这个关系中，究竟是国家和国家之间的矛盾呢，还是它更深层一些的是政府和民众之间的这个关系的这个理念呢？
这里头应该这么说吧，凡是民主国家就更多是反映政府和人民的关系，凡是专制国家就不是。所以这里头我们可以看到历史上一个很有意思的现象，当这个政府反映民主国家之间有很多这些关系的时候呢，他们之间是不太容易发生大规模战争冲突等等等等的。那么而专制国家或半专制国家是很容易发生战争冲突，因为政府决策非常快。
请问在东京的杨中美先生，两个问题。一个就是大家知道在2014年美俄关系发生了比较深刻的变化，由于乌克兰的局势还有由于其他各方面的原因，美俄关系现在非常的紧张。美俄之间的关系的变化对美中关系有没有任何影响？这是第一个问题。第二个问题就是湖南刘先生刚才提到的，两国美中两国在很多的问题上仍然存在不信任，包括网络间谍还有其他方面的因素，你怎么回答这两个问题？
这个美国的东扩问题呢，实际上是犯了一个比较激进的战略错误。这个是实际上呢是把俄国呢就是逼急了以后呢，结果俄国进行了一个反击。那么这个反击呢是出乎美国的意料之外的，是美国的就是重返亚太战略呢受到了一些障碍。本来就美国很可以把全集中精力来重返亚太战略，搞再平衡。但是他不得不分出很大的力量来对付这个苏联的扩张，那么在这种情况下呢，实际上是帮了中国的忙，是有利于中国的。所以呢，中俄现在好像就是在各方面呢就联手，实际上也是在制衡美国这个扩张。那么在这方面呢，我觉得这个美国的犯了一个这个，我觉得是一个战略性的一个错误，使中国赢得了一个宝贵的一个时间。这是一个第一个问题。第二点呢，我觉得中美之间呢，实际上是两个国家的制度是不同的，但是中美两国人民之间呢，实际上是没有问题的，也是这个应当说是他们不会对双方国家的人民对人民啊，实际上都抱有好感，不像中国对日本人民和人民之间抱有相互大的很大的不信任。那么这个，但是刚才龚小姐讲了，就是一个中国的一个专政的一个制度啊，容易决策，容易实行一个国家战略的变化。那么在这个对外扩张的时候，或者对外进行这个一些决策的时候呢，它谨慎的，在重大的问题上，它也是不轻易出手的，是非常根据国家的利益和人民的反应，它也要进行综合考量的。所以，它对美国的这个战略呢，实际上，我觉得是一直是很比较谨慎的，从来没有很大意的合作是盲目的。我觉得在这个方面呢，我觉得呢中美的关系呢，我觉得是在理性的成分占上风，不理性的地方比较少。
纽约时报上有一个文章说，中国现在奉行的是一种所谓的例外主义，就是说他现在既然觉得社会主义呢已经这个没有办法，已经是死胡同，那么现在试图呢要复兴他的这个所谓的儒教思想。那么所以这么做的这个目的呢，就在于告诉西方世界，就是我们跟你们是不一样的，我们有自己的道路。那您认为中国的这个所谓的例外主义呢，对美中关系，甚至对世界格局，还有对中国，还有中国共产党本身，将有怎么样的长期的一个影响呢？
我常常讲的中国特色的社会主义，就是说它奉行不同的价值观，对内是有讲一个一党独裁的统治，对外他要讲这个世界政治制度的民主化。那么实际上他是在相对说是对一个力量小的时候，他要讲国际政治秩序啊民主化。那么在现在的情况下，中国呢还没有力量和美国挑战，实际上呢他讲民主化的时候呢，实际上表示自己的力量还不够。
明天的《时事大家谈》节目，我们将专访台湾民进党秘书长吴钊燮，另外还有 VOA 有问必答，请在北京时间晚上8点到10点准时锁定 VOA 卫视。我是宝申，祝大家晚安。
我是宇宙，我们下次节目再见。